Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, Og Camp 11, Andy Piper on MQTT. Hello world, and welcome to the Full Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. This is the fourth of our highlights of last summer's unconference, Og Camp 11, held at Farnham Maltings in the south of England.
The Full Circle Podcast is the companion to Full Circle Magazine, the independent magazine for the Ubuntu community. Find us at fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast.
So this is Andy Piper's presentation on MQTT, that's MQ Telemetry Transport, which is a messaging protocol. Or more precisely, MQTT is a machine-to-machine Internet of Things connectivity protocol designed as a lightweight publish and subscribe messaging layer. It's useful for connections with remote locations where a small code footprint is required or where network bandwidth is at a premium. It's been used in sensors communicating to a broker via satellite link, over occasional dial-up connections with healthcare providers, and in a range of home automation and small device scenarios. It is also ideal for mobile applications because of its small size, low power usage, minimized data packets, and efficient distribution of information to one or many receivers. At least, that's what it says on the project homepage. Andy Piper calls himself a social bridge builder, photographer, diehard, techie, speaker, and podcaster. He works as the WebSphere messaging community lead at IBM and sits on the committee for At Digital Surrey. I'll let Andy tell you more.
Right, good morning everyone. Thank you for coming back today too, everyone. I hope everybody enjoyed the party. I had a splendid time. And a few people yesterday, during different sessions, mentioned this thing called MQTT. I know a few of you in the room are familiar with it. Some of you are grinning about that. Excellent. Okay, so, it's become something, this is my first Og Camp, but it's become something of an Og Camp theme, this particular protocol. So let's have a look at what this is about. So fundamentally, it's kind of an exciting time because, as a few people mentioned yesterday, we've got this whole Internet of Things developing. What does that mean? Well, it means that increasingly we've got very powerful, very small devices, and we've got ridiculously lacking in power, very small devices, but which have enough processing power to create some data and probably some means of transmitting some data. Now, I should mention that I work for IBM, and IBM talks about quite often this thing called the smart planet. And so IBM's view is that by helping the world to connect all these devices, by pulling this information together and making some connections between the information, mashing it up if you like, we can start to do some interesting things to hopefully improve the way we live. So, in order to achieve this, wouldn't it be nice if we had some protocols? Well, we've got some protocols. We've got a protocol called TCP/IP. It's pretty darn pervasive these days. And we've got some others, and I'll mention a particular one as we go through this talk. But MQTT is another protocol which we think is really interesting in this space. So, as I mentioned, this has become a bit of an Og Camp theme. The very first Og Camp in 2009, my colleague Dr. Andy Stanford Clark here, who actually invented the protocol over 10 years ago, talked about his twittering cows and some twittering fairies. And if you don't know Andy, go and look him up. He's got some great talks online. I think there's a video of his first Og Camp talk as well. Certainly there's an audio cast, which is on SlideShare, which you can have a look at. So Andy is much more of a propeller head than I can ever aspire to be. He has a farmhouse in the Isle of Wight, which he has heavily instrumented with just about everything you can possibly imagine, including instrumenting the cheese in the mouse traps in his loft, because he's discovered that not only it's no good just to instrument the mouse trap so that he knows on his smartphone when the trap has been sprung and he needs to go and clear out a dead mouse. He's also discovered that mice are quite discerning creatures. So if the cheese isn't fresh enough, the mouse won't go anywhere near it. So he stuck a couple of electrodes into the mouth, into the cheese, and as it hardens, its resistance goes up, and he knows that the cheese needs to be checked. So, you know, and all of this is done using this MQTT protocol. He also has a, his wife also has a llama farm, and they can track the llamas around around the field with this protocol. So IBM has a load of stuff in this space. IBM has a load of products that implement MQTT, this protocol. But Roger, the same evening, as Andy gave that original talk, created an open source broker called Mosquito, and has been developing that for the last couple of years. So here we are, 2011, the third iteration of OpCat, and the third iteration, or the third set of big news I have to share about MQTT. So I'm going to talk a little bit, first of all, about the big and exciting news, and then, if you haven't come across MQTT, I'll give you an introduction to the protocol and why we think it's exciting and something you should look at. So lots of things have happened in the last sort of 12, 18 months. First of all, we have a community site, mqtt.org, where we try to collect as much information as possible that's useful to people that are developing using the protocol. And we've now got client APIs in around about 12 languages, including things like Delphi and Lua, as well as the kind of classic, the more well-known languages. IBM and a company called Eurotech who share the specification. We published it last year, republished it last year, under a royalty-free license, which means that anybody can go ahead and build this protocol into their products. Now, I spoke, and I gave a quite similar talk to this one, at the Linux conference in Australia in January, and I was talking there to a lady from Intel, who's responsible for a lot of Intel's work in the Linux networking stack, and she kind of said to me, well, you know, royalty-free is not good enough, is it, really? You know, how can we guarantee, this is very much the sort of things that Karen and Simon were talking about yesterday, how can we guarantee that you're not just going to suddenly change the license backwards at some stage? Last week, in fact, on Friday, IBM and Eurotech opened a standardization call. So the plan is to put this forward to a proper standards body and have them manage the protocol specification going forward. So it's an open call, so if any of you have been using protocol, then we'd be delighted to have you get involved with us, give us your feedback on the specification. Now, that was the official news last Friday. This is my day job, so this is the thing that I publish. And then I came along to OpCat pub on Friday evening, and all of a sudden my email and Twitter started going nuts, because the other thing that happened was Facebook, a little company, if you've heard of them, announced that they are using this protocol for their new Facebook Messenger app. Don't go looking for it in any European app stores on Android or iPhone, because it's not available yet. It's available in the US at the moment. But they have a new group messaging app. They bought a company called Beluga in about February this year. And they've been integrating Beluga, and they now have a group messaging capability. MQTT is a very small protocol, which Lucy Zhang here suggests is used for sending telemetry data to and from spacecraft and other things. The point is that this particular protocol is designed explicitly, and I'll go into this in more detail, to optimize the bandwidth you're using and optimize the power you're using. So as she noted, you know, we have a very good ability to achieve phone-to-phone delivery in hundreds of milliseconds and also be very power efficient. So it's extremely cool, and you know, to have a company like Facebook actually validate the technology at this point is really exciting. Now that's a chat application. And I started off by talking about the Internet of Things. So let's see if we can join some of this stuff up. So MQTT stands for MQ Telemetry Transport. IBM has been in the application-to-application, or what we're now beginning to call end-to-end, machine-to-machine, messaging space for about 15, 20 years with something called MQ series, message queuing. So this is about not about sending emails, it's about sending small bits of information between applications on your system. And my day job for the last 10 or 15 years has been helping big companies to integrate their big enterprise systems, their account systems with their new client management system, with their new cloud thing that they might be doing on Salesforce. And that's an important role, because if you're in an accounting organization, you really don't want to lose transactions. You don't want to lose, you know, the ability to bill somebody because, you know, your message wasn't reliable enough. So we did reliable messaging, but typically that has some overheads. We need to do things like persisting the data. We need to do things like, you know, handshaking, all these kind of things. And there is actually a spectrum of capabilities that we need to be able to address. And increasingly, we've got this, you know, very small set of devices. We've got these lightweight networks that we want to use. So we know that at the other end of that scale, we might be dealing with much smaller devices than your big mainframes and Unix systems. And that's where the telemetry aspect fits in. Let's talk a little bit more about what this looks like. It's a publish and subscribe mechanism. So if you're not familiar with that, the idea is that when I send a message, I send a letter, rather than sending it directly to somebody, I can just say, here's some information, and it's about the weather in Farnham in the UK. And somebody could subscribe and say, I'm interested in all information about the weather, or they could say, I'm only interested in information about the weather in Farnham in the UK. And they would receive all of the information that's been published on those topics, based on that filtering. So it's not a point-to-point protocol, it's explicitly about publishing information to a large number of listeners, potentially, or to no listeners, because maybe you might subscribe to the information we're publishing on you. Another design point is that 10 years ago, 11 years ago, when this was designed and first put in place, Andy and his colleagues were dealing with very unreliable networks with potentially very small bandwidth, potentially going over kind of satellite connections to, you know, the middle of an oil field in Siberia. So we needed to be very, very efficient with our usage of that network bandwidth. And not only that, we were dealing with potentially low bandwidth, very high latency, because the network might just not be a very efficient network, unreliable, and high cost, by which I mean high cost to run. There's an IBM customer in the US at the moment who are dealing with integrating energy, electricity meters in their customers' houses, but they said to us, well, we're using the Verizon 4G network, and that costs us a lot. And they charge us per data packet. So we really want to reduce the amount of data we're sending over that virtual wire. So we want to deal with all of these kind of issues. We also need to expect, again, it comes back to the history. Maybe 10 years ago, we had much less powerful computing systems than we do today. So we want to expect that the environment where our application is running has quite limited resources available. It could be a small, low-power processor, or a lack of memory available, or whatever limitation that we have. If we have more powerful than the thing that sent man to the moon iPhone or Android phone, then that's fine. We use as much resource as we throw at it. But we can fit it to a very small amount of space. And from an IBM perspective, this last point is really interesting, because typically IBM doesn't go around handing out its protocols and things, because it's worth a lot of money to them. But in this particular case, because we're dealing with lots of kind of funny devices, you know, processes that we don't deal with in our day-to-day lives, and IBM generally covers a range of standard enterprise computing platforms. So we might have to compile or run on a smaller device, which we simply can't compile for ourselves. So we publish this protocol for anybody to go ahead and implement. And as I say, at the moment we've said it's royalty free, it's free for anybody to implement, and we're going forward looking to standardize it. And that should happen quite quickly. So it's also a very easy API to get running with. If you've ever used, and I don't know how many of you are into this space, something like the Java Messaging Service API, there's a lot of complexity and overhead in there. You've got to get connection factories, you've got to set up transactions, and you have to do puts and gets, commits and things. Well, the MQTT API is really simple. There are five verbs, effectively. Connect, disconnect, publish, subscribe, and unsubscribe. That's it. That's all you really need to know. Really straightforward. As I mentioned, a very small footprint on the wire. We don't have, again, with JMS, you have these additional properties you can assign, metadata you can assign to a message. We don't have any of that. It's a very simple, small payload with a really tiny, smallest possible packet size. We weren't sending any message body at all. We were just sending a command to the MQTT server or broker. It would just be a 2-byte packet. And we also have this really kind of interesting thing that we've built in to cope with the fact that we might be dealing with one of these unreliable networks, or even an unreliable system that runs down on battery or something, which is this idea of what's called the last will and testament message. So what we can do there is we can say, oh, hello, Mr. Broker. I'm a new device on your network. I'm going to be publishing this topic. If you ever lose sight of me, if I go away randomly without telling you that I've gone away, then please publish on this topic on my behalf. and tell people that I've gone away. So it's kind of interesting. Now, and often people say to me, well, this HTTP, everybody's using HTTP these days. You know, we can call any old REST web service on the interwebs via HTTP. And that's absolutely true. Of course, it's a very well-known protocol. But let's look at a couple of differences, which I think are quite important. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm simply saying that there are different protocols here for different spaces and different use cases. So, HTTP was basically invented to get documents, right? I want to get that web page off that server. It's a document-centric protocol. And then over time, we've bent it a little bit to say, actually, well, my document's now a message, it's now a SOAP thing, or it's now a REST bit of JSON, and that's what we're getting or putting or posting. MQTT doesn't care. MQTT is not about documents, it's about just little packets of information. It's really simple, as I mentioned, we've really just got a few methods. HTTP is also pretty simple if you're just doing HTTP GET and HTTP POST, but if you start doing application type calls, API calls, you typically then start getting into to put and get and delete and other things. So it becomes a bit more complicated. And you've also then got to handle all these funny return codes. 404 and 401 and 301 and 300, you know, it gets a bit more interesting. We've also mentioned that we've got a really tiny packet size. We were built from the ground up to be small. We are not adding lots of extraneous stuff to our messages. And if you look at if you do a wire sharp on an HTTP call, you're going to find there's a whole bunch of stuff in the headers, and there's probably, if you're doing a post, there's a whole bunch of chatter to say, yes, okay, thanks, I got that, here's your return document. Because we're publishing to anybody who's subscribing, and this is a nice thing when we look at a Facebook use case, we don't have to do lots and lots of calls. If you were to take that Facebook Messenger use case and say, okay, three or four of you are in my group and I'd like to post a message over HTTP to three or four of you, then you're probably going to post to a central server, and then that's going to have to post with a bunch of other people. So it's going to generate a lot of additional traffic. Whereas with MQTT, you publish, and that's it, because everyone who's subscribed is going to get that data. Again, coming back to this lightweight nature of the protocol, it's not just light on the network wire or the virtual network wire. It's also quite small in memory terms. So IBM has a reference implementation of a small broker for dealing with this, and this is what we call the server. We have clients, which either publishes and subscribes. We have a broker at the middle, or a number of brokers at the middle that can actually manage those and do the distribution of those subscriptions and publications. So we have a simple broker, and that's about 80K in memory, as a binary. With HTTP, you typically have to draw in a bunch of other libraries, depending on the kind of work you're doing. So you've got, you know, XML and JSON libraries and SOAP and REST and all these other bits and pieces. And again, I'm not saying that's bad. It depends on what you're using it for. But it may not be necessary for a sensor network, for example, to have that kind of stack in place. And there's another thing, which is to do with qualities of service. We've got, effectively, with MQTT, three qualities of service. We've got a quality of service for delivery of messages, which is zero, and that basically says, send the message, I'm going to publish and just hope it gets there. And if it doesn't get there, that's fine, I don't care. It doesn't matter if nobody was listening or if this particular packet was missed. And we've also got one and two, which are a bit more kind of handshake. They kind of say to the broker, please let me know that you've got this thing to publish for me. I'm not going to go into detail on the qualities of service today, but HTTP itself has no attempts, even attempt at one-sided delivery. You have to handle your retry. If you get an HTTP 500 or whatever that your post failed, you have to handle that. You deal with it yourself in your code, retry. So let's look at some geeky use cases. I took out a load of IBM-y kind of industrial use cases, because it is in use in a number of different industries. Let's look at a few examples. We had Ken yesterday talking about the Nano. It's been ported to Arduino, ported a couple of years ago to the Arduino platform. So if you've got Arduino applications that you just want to do simple publications from sensors from, you could do that very easily. It was also ported over Christmas last year to another embedded platform called the Embed, which is a kind of chewing gum stick-sized prototyping board. Over here at the top is a little Android application with a client's Java library, so it's very, very easy to go on Android. Got a nice blog post on the MQTT.org website, which talks about various ways that you can use it with Android, and there's some really nice tutorials about that. This down here is my power meter at home. We've got one of these current cost meters. It has a serial port on the bottom, which is just posting out over the serial port into my Vivian MPC a string of XML to say this is the current usages. And then I can publish that to a broker that we have running in an IBM cloud. And then a number of us can then graph and compare our energy usage. So we have a little competition that goes around the lab to see who can keep their energy usage baseline as low as possible. And you see that even when I'm out during the day, you have these little spikes because, you know, the fridge turns its compressor on, and, you know, various other bits and pieces around the home are automatically cycling themselves. But then, of course, you come home in the evening, you turn the kettle on, you put the washing machine on, and so on, and the energy spikes up more. So obviously, you know, this is just, MQTT is just providing the ability to publish the data to a visualization system there. And over here, I've got the idea, I haven't proven this yet, but I think it's pretty straightforward, that the Kindle would be quite a nice way of having the ability to publish data to just a, you know, an e-ink display. Because the Kindle is a lot of a Linux box. You need to jailbreak it. It's pretty straightforward. And it effectively is a Java-based load of stuff on top of that. The foolish thing that Amazon have done, in my opinion, is to keep the Kindle development kit very closely controlled and have really widely distributed it. So people that are doing homebrew hacking for the Kindle. So I mentioned that people like to use this, and we're finding lots of different cases. I'm really pleased that people are using this. This is one of my friends over in Australia, and he's using this as the centre of his home automation system, similar to Andy Stanford Clark's system, actually. He's got, for example, as I have, a current cost meter attached, which is publishing the power and the temperature in the home. He's also got some Gnome applets that sit on his desktop so he can see the current settings. He's got now a mobile interface to switch on and off his lights around the house, and so on. And I've got a link to his blog where he talked about this. Dan Fish has got is using a mosquito broker with MQTT to do a bunch of stuff to go out and actually water his garden. So that's kind of cool. I mean, why would you want to go outside? Let's be honest. Let's just stay indoors where the nice computers are and water your garden from indoors. These are some of the even more awesome examples. Nick O'Leary, who was here late yesterday, and Kevin Brown, who worked in Hernsley, were on the BBC's Bangers 3. Thank you. Yes, it was. Exactly right. They did this test to see whether these mind control headsets that are beginning to come out for gaming applications could be used to drive London taxis. So they did that through using MQTT to send commands to and from the taxi and the devices that are attached to the taxi. Chris Phillips from Southampton decided to create some ambient Arduino-controlled flashing ducks. Kind of fun. He's written a nice blog post about how he did it anyway. Don't ask me about so many people full of rubber ducks that we gather as well. We're at a technical conference, we're at a geeky conference. How can we get up and running? Well, the IBM answer is this one, I'm obliged to tell you. I do recommend you have a look at this. This is our free reference broker implementation that you can download from our IBM AlphaWorks site. And literally, you download the zip file and zip it and run it, and you have a little broker running. There's some C clients and Java clients that are available from our website as well you can start to play with. And you'll find that it's actually compiled for a range of different things, including, for example, the Slug and a few other things. It runs on a Mac as well if you're interested in that. And also on our next scale, which is relatively unusual. But the more exciting one, I think, from an OpCamp perspective, is Roger's fantastic project. It's really come in leaps and bounds over the last few years. Really nice. Very, very easy to get using. I'm an Ubuntu user, so I've got the Ubuntu example up here. He's got some clients, so they're just command line clients to enable you to test, publish, and subscribe. He's also got a Python library there, and he's got a bunch of different package Linux distributions, and of course you can compile it directly from Bitbucket as well. Again, it wouldn't really be a good conference talk for OpCamp without having some code in my presentation. Here's an example of a little bit of Java code, pretty straightforward really. Really just to make that connection initially, you set up a little bit of property information which will contain where your broker is. Here we are, we want to give ourselves a name test client, our broker is running on port 1883, and then connect and publish, hello world, and we're done, that's it. And really trivial to do. In fact, the Python code, which I'll show you in a minute, is even simpler than that. And then we just have a callback to say when something comes in, let's just print it out to stand it out. This is from Oliver, who's over there. He's done some lovely blog posts about using Python and MQTT. This is a really nice example, and I've used this a few times when I've shown this off to clients, because it's kind of cool. You can publish some information from a sensor or a device like my phone and have little notifications pop up in Ubuntu because you've got the PY notify interface. Again, really trivial. I mean, if you look at the actual amount of code which is related to MQTT, this top part here really is just the notification stuff. So just down here, we've got the ability to connect and then publish or subscribe. And I mentioned community and the fact that we've got a community site and we've got lots of excited developers. MQTT.org is our kind of main community site. It's kind of arm's length from IBM. It's you know, we try to really call out and point out cool stuff that people are using this for, rather than saying, yes, and you can buy MQ series and buy message broker and buy all these other things from IBM. It's not about that. It's about the fact that actually, you know, we are really excited that we've got so many developers who are really interested in this stuff. Of course, we're on IRC. So Roger's got an IRC channel, MQTT on Freenode, where people talk about his own project as a launchpad. I delight in raising bugs against it, mainly when he gets his packaging wrong. And loads of people writing about it online. I went over, as I mentioned, to Australia. When I was there, the University of Brisbane are doing some really cool stuff around using MQTT to control things like microscopes so that they can have users around the world send them messages to tell them, actually, I'd like your microscope to look at this slide for me and send me the data back to somewhere in the US. So things like that. So that's it, really. That's all I wanted to talk about this morning. I hope that's got you interested, got you excited, got you thinking about going and taking a look at some of these examples. I have about 1 minute for questions from Alan and the gentleman over there before Laura comes and throws me off the stage.
So, MQTT, does it run directly on the wire or does it run over IP?
It runs. Right, very good question, Alan. So, yes, MQTT sits on top of TCP/IP. So, you need a TCP/IP standard on your device. Correct. So, a common question I have is, okay, well, we bought a sensor system from company Blah, and they've given us a little box and all these sensors and all the system. So how will I get MQTT onto these sensors? And the answer is you don't. You put MQTT onto the most convenient entry point. It's about opening up the data to as wide a range of people as possible, right? So if you've got a Linux box, as I have at home, I've got a weather station, which is connected to over an RF connection, and I've got my current bus meter, which is connected over a serial connection. My Linux box is where I run MQTT. I'm pulling stuff off the ports, you know, scraping it or whatever, and then republishing it up to our broker in our lab in IBM, because then it's more interesting, so it's available to a wider range of people. So it runs over TCP/IP. That's a great question. There's a question there, and then Alan. Sorry.
How does it compare to something like AMQP?
How does it compare to something like AMQP? Excellent question. So AMQP is not an API, it's a wire format, wire protocol. AMQP has a relatively complex operational model. This is really simple. The other thing is, AMQP is relatively new, it's only just going through its 1.0 release. We've got Redshift version 3, that's the one that's going to go forward probably for standardization. It's been in the market and happening for 11 or 12 years. So this is something that's really solid. AMQP, I would say at the moment, is still really moving around and shifting a bit. That's the answer. And there's, as I said, AMQP has no defined API, and this does have a defined API.
Two quick sides. How big is a client in kind of embedded environment? What sort of size do you need?
Excellent question. Pretty small is all I can tell you.
The other thing is, if you have to use RPC6, you almost need time.
Yes. We can run over IPv6, and I don't have an answer to the size issue there. I mean, that's a general problem with the IPv6 protocol compared to IPv4, rather than something that, I mean, MQTT will still minimize. Yes, I understand. Yes, so you're right, there is a diminished advantage, but it will still be an advantage over something like HTTP, for example. Okay, thank you very much.
And that was Andy Piper's presentation on MQTT. The presentation, Messaging for the Internet of Awesome Things, can be found on slideshare.net. Andy's blog for MQTT, The Lost Outpost is also online. Check the show notes. OggCamp is a joint venture organised by those lovely podcasters, the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've more highlights of OggCamp coming up on the Full Circle podcast very soon, including Laura Tchaikovsky and a quick debrief with Alan Pope. For now, I'm Robin Catling. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.